You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
As promised, joining us now live from Toronto is Matt Hartley, who is the technology columnist for the Financial Post. How are you doing, Matt?
Very well, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. On your way home late tonight.
It's been a long couple of days.
It has been a long couple of days. Lots of news happening, and lots of it with a solid Canadian focus. But let's start with Apple just having made their announcements of their quarter. They certainly had an outstanding quarter. Did you see it coming?
This was going to be a big quarter. Apple tends to have its biggest quarter in the final 3 months of the year every year, because that's when everybody goes out and picks up new iPods and new Mac computers for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so this is always the big Apple quarter, is the one that gets announced in January or February right after the Christmas season. But there was an added wrinkle in it this year, in that this was also the quarter that saw the launch of the iPhone 4S. Now, Apple typically launches a new iPhone in the summertime, at least they have for the last few years. Only this year they missed the June-July window when they normally launch the new iPhone, and instead waited until October. So you had an extra couple of months of pent-up iPhone demand, and all of these people looking to rush out and pick up a new iPhone. So not only was this a big holiday quarter, but you also had a record number of iPhones sold in the quarter. They sold 37 million iPhones in the 3 months between October and December.
That's staggering.
Just to put that in perspective for you, the best two quarters Apple has ever had selling iPhones before this were the previous two quarters, when they sold 20 million iPhones and 18 million iPhones. So if you take the two best quarters they've ever had selling iPhones, put them together, that's roughly what they sold in this most recent quarter.
Isn't that something?
That's going to translate into something pretty remarkable.
It puts a lot of the industry pundits to shame, because there was a lot of disappointment with the 4S when it was first released. I guess they were wrong.
Yeah, it's funny, because everybody gets their hopes up really high for a new iPhone, and oh, maybe this one's going to have this new feature or that new feature. And when those features don't materialize, people think that it's some kind of a failure. But they fail to realize that, for whatever reason, people really love the iPhone. And there is a loyal contingent of Apple fans out there who will buy a new one every year. And now you're getting into the cycle of the product, where people are coming up on 2 and 3 year contracts every couple of years on Apple, and now you've got people rolling over into new iPhones each year. So it's become quite the device for Apple. It's certainly their flagship product now. When you consider that Apple sold almost 40 million iPhones and only 5 million Mac computers, which was still a record, but not nearly what they're selling in the iPhone department.
And did you find it interesting in his comments in the press event? Tim Cook referenced Microsoft Windows Phone as the competition he was concerned about. He made no mention of Android. Did you find that interesting?
Well, they talked about Android a little bit, and the question was actually in response to an analyst. Now, the analyst asked, do you see the smartphone race shaping up to be a two-horse race between Apple and Android?
Oh, okay.
He said, and in turn, Tim Cook said, I don't see it as a two-horse race. He said, there's lots of other players. But Tim Cook is an industry veteran. This is a guy who used to work at Compaq. He's been around for a long time. Tim Cook's no dummy. He knows that Microsoft is always around. Microsoft, if it decides that it wants to get into a market, will spend billions of dollars to get into the market. Go ask Yahoo about how Microsoft wanted to get into search one way or another, and now Microsoft is the number two search provider. So, I mean, this is Microsoft's one of those companies, when your pockets are that deep, you're never really out of anything.
Okay. They did mention a little bit about Apple TV that was brought up. What was the scuttlebutt on that?
Well, the question one of the analysts asked, whether or not, sort of put the question to Tim Cook that everybody wants to know, is whether or not Apple's actually working on a flat screen television to go up against the Samsungs and Sonys and LGs of the world. Apple has obviously said nothing about this. Steve Jobs talked about it a little bit in his biography, but there's still nothing to report there. Tim Cook said he wasn't going to make any announcements. He did say that last year, in sort of in fiscal 2011, Apple sold 2.8 million Apple TV products, which is obviously, makes it kind of the run to the litter within the Apple product family. But he did say that they sold 1.4 million Apple TVs in the holiday quarter. So that's, you know, it looks as though sales of the Apple TV are going up.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems like it's still a niche product, and there's still a lot of people out there waiting for Apple to come out with some sort of a different kind of living room solution.
That'll be the drama that plays out this year. Now, set starkly against the success of the iPhone 4S and the happy news on the financial front from Apple is the sad news that's coming out of Canada with RIM, with Jim Balsillie and Mike Lazaridis stepping down. It was about time. Now, were you surprised that they looked within the company for their successor?
I'm not surprised. I think Wall Street was surprised, and I think you can look at the share price to see their surprise at this. I think Wall Street was certainly angling and hoping for an outsider. When we reported in early January that sources were telling us that Barb Stymiest was going to take over as chairman, the stock went up, and you know, it doesn't take a genius to think that, you know, when you get a new chairman, potentially you get a new CEO. And I think Wall Street was kind of hoping that potentially RIM would be looking outside the organization for a new leader. Instead, they've gone with Thorsten Hines. He's the company's former COO, was spent over two decades at Siemens, the German company. And he comes into RIM and has decided that he's going to continue along the same strategic path that Mike and Jim have laid out. He's going to stick with, he's not thinking of breaking up the company and selling it. He's not thinking of a takeover. He wants to get BlackBerry 10 out into the market as quickly as possible. He's going to continue along with the playbook. So for now, it's going to be business as usual. But at the same time, if you really think about it, he doesn't have much of an option in that case. RIM really needs to get, has pinned all of its hopes on BlackBerry 10. So it really needs to, you know, it can't really change the course of its strategy right now. This is the next generation operating system that's going to standardize the BlackBerry smartphones and the playbook all on one piece of software. And, you know, RIM needs to get that done so that it can become relevant in the eyes of developers. And then if he wants to start departing from the Mike and Jim strategy at that point, then you might begin to see some changes in the way the companies run.
When we see the love affair that the public's got with the iPhone, with the massive number of unit sales that they've had in the last quarter, that's the darling of the development community at the same time, because where the people go or where the developers are going to go. What does RIM have to do to get those developers online?
Well, there's a couple of things. You have to remember, keep in mind why people like the iPhone. People like the iPhone for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's one development platform for iOS. Yeah, you got to customize some things for iPad or iPod or iPhone, but for the most part, you're dealing with one set of code. Ditto for Android. You can build something for Android, and it's going to work across a broad range of devices. You might have to do a little customization here or there, but for the most part, it's pretty standard. RIM's developer tools, for the most part, have been maligned for quite a long time by the developer community. RIM has started to standardize a lot of things, and BlackBerry 7, the current operating system that powers the current generation of BlackBerry smartphones, developers seem to like that more than they've liked previous versions of the developer kit. Now what you're going to see is once they go to BlackBerry 10, and you can use all of those sort of web-based developer tools, things like HTML5, to actually build applications, now you're moving into a different world where you can build an application for the playbook, for example, and it's going to work with minimal customization across a broad range of BlackBerry devices. That's going to make it much more appealing. But in the end, I mean, buzz is a tough thing in the tech world.
Yeah.
Right now, Android and Apple are all the rage. That's all anybody wants to talk about. But you got to remember, 2005, 2006, BlackBerry was the coolest thing out there. You know, every celebrity was snapped with a BlackBerry. Every politician had one. And it was just the coolest thing out there. So it's a difficult thing. It's, buzz and fame are a fickle thing in the tech world.
Do you get a sense that Thorsten Hines is the kind of guy that can lead them back to the promised land?
To be totally honest with you, I've listened to one conference call with Thorsten Hines, and I've interviewed him once for about 10-15 minutes. So, you know, he seems like a very smart guy. He seems like he's got some interesting ideas. He does seem to think that RIM needs to get back its marketing mojo in the U.S., which I think is a very good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He, he plans to go out and hire a chief marketing officer, and that chief marketing officer's prime goal will be to make RIM relevant again in the consumer's eyes in the United States. It's a tall order, but he knows that he's got to go out and find someone that can do that. So the fact that he's identified that as a priority, I think, is a good positive step forward. And at the same time, if he can streamline decision-making processes within RIM, if he can give the developers within the company and the engineers a good shot in the arm and show them that he's confident and that, they're striking out. It's a new dawn for RIM and people can get reinvigorated. Then perhaps maybe we're looking at a different company in 6 months to a year.
It certainly should be interesting. We're going to take a quick break. I've got Matt Hartley on the phone from the Financial Post. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.